This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها الأخوة الكرام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Peace and prayers of Allah be with you. We begin by praising Allah always. We praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, His guidance and His mercy. We send peace and prayers on his final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah, nas'alullah ta'ala, an yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina. Wa nas'aluhu bi'ilman nafi' wa rizqan wasi' wa alayhi natawakkal wa ilayhi al-masir wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. We ask Allah to forgive us, to be merciful to us. We ask Him for useful knowledge that is beneficial to us and for sustenance which is wide, on Him we utterly depend, and to Him is our goal. Last time, if you remember, we're in the interim, and because it's Fiqh Sira, there are topics which are linked with the interim. We're the interim after talking about the Sahifa or the constitution established by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in two parts, one with the tribes of the Yahud, you can say the Ahlul Kitab, the tribes of Yahud with the hardly any Christians in Medina, and the constitutional part that was done for the rights and obligations of citizens in regards to Muslims as well. So after looking at that last time, we looked at the issue of disbelievers, Ayatul Saif, if you remember, the verse of the sword, and the relationship in regards to citizenship, clarifying that the relationship with disbelievers or Kuffar and Ahlul Kitab is not left to just killing and slaughtering them. And we use a lot of evidences in regards to that, in contrast to some scholars and imams and others and followers who believe that. Yeah, this is from our history, and we rejected those claims as batil, as false, not even an accepted variation with evidences that I gave last time. We also ventured on a bit further to the relationship with Ahlul Kitab. We talked much about allegiance and wilaya last time as well, as I've talked about before from the ayat of the Quran, and what it actually means. In regards to allegiance and not just simple friendship that it was talking about, as some people have misused those ayat of the Quran. I want to continue a little bit that, because it's relevant when we talk about non-Muslims to the society and surroundings that we live in. So these lessons are crucial. As far as just recapping, if we look at disbelievers, then disbelievers themselves are not one entity. Or if you can say kuffar. Kuffar and disbelievers and kuffar is sometimes debatable, but because kuffar, which is a plural of kafir, really in the Quran it's used for those who receive the message and reject. Sorry, this pen's not very good. That's the idea of kufr. The message arrives, yeah, and they reject it. But when we use the word disbelievers, it doesn't actually absolutely translate from that. Because disbelief can be through ignorance or not even receiving the message. Yeah, not even receiving the message. So there is some issue in regards to that. So when we use disbelief, I suppose it's a bit of a gentler word. Even in English, disbelief can have the implication that somebody disbelieves because they don't know anything better. Yeah. But when we look at kuffar, in the Islamic understanding, in the Sharia understanding, there are five types of kuffar, disbelievers. Five types. One, mulhidun. These are people who don't believe in God, don't believe in hereafter, angels, books, or anything. You can say they're the atheists, yeah? Or agnostic, who sit on the fence, well, they're in doubt, really. You know, you can put them somewhere. But mulhidun are those who are complete rejected. Inna ladina kafaru billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wal yawmil akhiri faqad dalla dalalan ba'ida. Surely those who kafaru, disbelieve in Allah, His messengers, His angels, the books, and in the day of resurrection, for surely they have gone far away astray. Dalalan ba'ida. They've gone astray far from belief, basically, yes? Of reality, of truth. So there's mulhidun, those who say, inna hadhihi hayatu dunya. There's just this life of this world. Yeah? And wama kunna bimabu'uthin. And we will not be raised up again. وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرِ. And nothing makes us die except time. Yeah, so these are the rejectors. So that's one type of kuffar. The second type are mushriks. Mushrikun, do they believe in God? They do, actually. They do. If you ask the Hindus, do they believe in God? They say they do. Did the mushriks of Mecca and Medina, the time of Prophet, did they believe in Allah? Yes, they said we believe in Allah. But mushrik means they associate partners with Him. They say these are goddesses and statues that we have to go through to reach Allah. So they do shirk with Allah. Their time is then spent worshipping others besides Allah. Yeah. So shirk is that kind of kufr. That kind of kufr, you know, that it will not be forgiven. Yeah. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih wa yaghfiru ما دون ذلك. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surely will not forgive anybody who associate partners with Him. But potentially Allah will forgive anything aside from that. For whomever He wills. But that He doesn't forgive. Yeah? So shirk is very serious. So second type of kuffar. Third type. Anyone? Yeah, hypocrites. We'll put them right down here. Al-Munafiqoon. Innal Munafiqeena fi darkil asfali minan nar. That's why I put them down here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, surely the hypocrites will be in the lowest of parts of hellfire. Lowest here doesn't necessarily mean low. Darkil asfali minan nar means the worst part of hellfire. Yeah? Worst part of hellfire. That's what it means. They are the worst of kuffar. That's why they're given the punishment even worse than the mushriks. Darkil asfali minan nar. Yeah? Because, why? Why?
They didn't tell the truth. And they rejected openly.
Yeah, they... Well, all of them could be told the truth. Mushriks can reject it. Mulhids can reject it. What's...
It's a liar.
Absolutely. They're deceiving. And they're deceiving because actually they claim to believe. Yeah? They're trying to deceive people, but inside This is not hypocrisy that really they believe in La ilaha illallah. They definitely don't believe in. They are kuffar. They pretend to be believers. Yeah? Munafiqun. So they are the most dangerous from that perspective. Yeah? Because they're deceivers. But in reality is, as Allah says, they're deceiving themselves. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَحْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. They think they're deceiving Allah and the believers. Yeah, but they're only deceiving themselves, Allah says. Yeah. So, al-munafiqun, most dangerous, because they can backstab the believers. Because believers in a community think they're with them. But they're not with them. Yeah, this is, I'm talking about in situation of war, where these are the kind of people who are the treacherous ones. Because they hate Islam and hate belief, so in that situation they will join the other side and do treachery. Yeah. And which is a deceitful treachery. Mushriks will tell you to their face. Mulhids will tell you to your face, I don't believe. Mushriks will say, ah, yeah, but I believe, I associate others. We need to go through. But these, yeah, pretense. It's the deceit that, and it makes them most dangerous as well because of that. Two other groups. Yes, good. And this is the reason why I really wanted to go through this with you, is because of these people, people of the book. They're a separate entity. Because what you have to realize, as in Islam, as with do's and don'ts, as with fara'id and with muharramat, everything is not of the same level. When we're told to do things, there are fard. And in fara'id, there are major ones and those which are of less priority. And then there's mustahab. Yeah, things which are recommended, things which are stressed on. Yeah, in the recommendation, things which are less stressed on, but they're recommended as well. In Muharramat, there's kaba'ir and saghair, big sins, yeah, and smaller sins, which is the majority. So everything's not the same level. Kufr's not of the same level either in that regard. How can it be? Because these don't believe in anything. These are deceiving, they don't believe anything. Actually, they're with them. Are they not? Munafiqs are with them. They don't believe in anything. Yeah, so they're the worst. In a sense, mushriks join their group because they associate with Allah and shirk will not be forgiven. Yeah. But when you come to these, Ahlul Kitab, they believe in God. They believe in angels. They believe in messengers, prophets. They believe in the day after, yeah, hereafter, and judgment, and hellfire and hell, yes? Similar prophets they believe in as well. So there has to be a difference, doesn't there? And therefore, Ahlul Kitab, the people of the scripture, were given in Islam a special place as well. And therefore, they're referred to as Ahlul Kitab. And often, mushriks are separated from them. So, وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنِ. So you do not marry mushriks until they believe. A mushrik until he believes. But are we given an exception to that? Whereas in Surah Al-Ma'idah, which was one of the later surahs, one of the last towards the end of the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Surah number 5, verse number 5, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, despite that general comment about do not marry mushriks, yeah? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says in Al-Yawma, quickly find that for us. Oh, we'll have a shaitan hajim. اليوم أحل لكم الطيبات وطعام الذين أوتوا الكتاب حل لكم وطعامكم حل لهم. والمحصنات من المؤمنات والمحصنات من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم إذا آتيتموهن أجورهن محصنين غير محسنين غير مسافحين ولا متخذي أخدان ومن يكفر بالإيمان فقد حبط عمله وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. So here, this is a verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this day, yeah, we have made permitted for you of the good things, of the lawful and good things, and the food of those who have been given the book. This is the ayah. Here, food cannot mean rice and vegetables, even though it says ta'am. Yeah? Because even ta'am of mushriks and anybody Chinese and Quraysh mushriks of rice and vegetables, that wasn't forbidden. Never was. It was the meat. So here ta'am means the meat. Yeah? As being of the people of the book, the Jews is allowed for you. Quran made it very clear here. Yeah? Knowing all this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowing that in the Christians are at that time. They weren't all Unitarians, by the way. Trinity became established in the 4th century. Yeah, when it was taken as the way for the majority of Christianity. Yeah, Trinity became established under Emperor Constantine. Around that kind of time, 3rd, 4th century became established. So Trinitarian Christians are around when the Quran is mentioning this. Allah knows this. But he uses a general term to mean Nasara, Christians of all denominations, and the Jews of all denominations. The general comment it is. Utul Kitaba, Hillulakum, and is allowed for you, and your food is allowed for them. Wal Muhsanatu min al Mu'minat, and chaste women are allowed for you. What does that mean, allowed for you? Allowed for you to marry, of course. It's not using the word marriage, but we understand that from other ayah. That's the only way it's allowed. Yeah? And chaste women, min alladhina utul kitab, from those who were given the book, from the scripture. Yeah? Min qablikum, for those who came before you, meaning the Jews and Christians again. If you give them their dowry, as it were, provided you give them their dowry in wedlock, you know, the bridal deal. And the ayah goes on. So I just mentioned that because that is then excluding, yeah, even though Trinity is shirk, isn't it? Trinity is shirk, but they are excluded and separated from the other mushriks because, and they're given a special place and often, so many times, called the Ahlul Kitab. No, all mushrik, not all mushriks. Out of respect, Ahlul Kitab is a respectful term. A respectful term referring to them. Despite the variety of denominations in them. Just for completion, so even in that regard, you see that we mentioned earlier in the story when the Prophet was in Mecca, Surah Rum, that when the Persians who were mushriks, yeah, won in battle against the Romans, who was rejoicing in Mecca? The mushriks, weren't there? But when the Romans had the other upper hand, as Surah Rum mentions, that they will get victory, who was rejoicing? The Quran says it. يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers were rejoicing because they had more allegiance towards people of the book than they did with mushriks. They were Christian, yeah, closer to the Christians. So the difference at level of kuffar, yeah, they are closer to us, even though they may be disbelievers. And the fourth group is murtad, those who were Muslims and they renegade, they leave the deen, they're kuffar because they were previous. As they nowadays say, which I don't understand really, they go around saying ex-Muslim. Suddenly he's an expert. Now, you're a Muslim, but you're not a Muslim. Why don't you go around calling yourself ex-Muslim? Because it gives them a road in to be in the media, to write books, yeah? The views of the ex-Muslim. Well, all right, you're not a Muslim. Where's the ex come from? Yeah, I'm X this. Yeah, this is just a game being played, really, but of course the issue of ridda is a big debatable issue, whether the punishment is death penalty for them, as many scholars have said historically. I don't accept that, as some other scholars didn't accept that either, even though it is the majority of view historically. But I believe if you look at the evidence, there is nowhere in the Quran or authentic hadith where it directly mentions any punishment for somebody doing ridda, except the punishment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. That's what you find. Yeah. But this, if it is linked with punishment, it is primarily, and I wrote a paper on this some time ago, it is primarily to do with treason. Treason. Not that they, because in the end, la ikraha fid deen, you go back to that principle, there is no compulsion in religion. Yeah, so one can become Muslim and leave as well. Yeah, because of that principle. But leaving, everybody has a right to, because it's with them and Allah. But of course, the idea is that you are enlightened and then you leave and you reject is worse than when you've not received the message of being enlightened and you are a disbeliever. Yeah? But that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where it becomes a problem in this world is to do with when the murtad joins the munafiqs and the enemies in a state situation. They separate from the state and they work against the state. That becomes treason. And that's how other ulama scholars justified the classical opinions of many scholars about giving the death penalty, because they saw it as treason. Yeah. They couldn't imagine a believer leaving the community except to become enemy to the state. So hence they came with the conclusion of the death penalty. Now, so we have this, and then we have, I forgot to get a piece of paper to rub this, if I need to, anyway. Has anybody got, there might be, just get me a couple of tissues from the box, please, if you don't mind. Thank you. Now, you have kuffar. What's important in this relationship with kuffar, disbelievers, yeah, even those who received the message and rejected it, never mind those who never received the message. The difference, yes? Even those who received the message and rejected it, they're not to be killed and fought. Yeah, which is what I was trying to say to you last time. So there's a difference of treatment depending on, yeah, enmity, not from us. When I say enmity, I mean enmity from them. Yeah, and war being declared on the believers by them. And those who are the opposite to that, they've done none of that. Absence of that, you can say. Then the relationship varies based on that, not based on that. So don't put them all in one group and say, like they said, I told you last time from Ayatul Saif, yeah, that from this day on, all disbelievers, the only relationship we have, and Ahlul Kitab, the only relationship, I gave you the verses last time from Surah Tawbah, the only relationship we have is we fight and kill them, wherever we see them. It's nonsense. Abrogating so many ayat to do with goodness and finding common ground and sabr and doing da'wah. All of it disappears. Da'wah finishes with these people. Yeah. However, the reality is it's to do with this. And even in enmity and war, you're talking about at state level. Yeah? You're not talking on an individual level. On a state level, to protect the state, the state will take action and declare war, defensive war, as we'll see with the life story of the Prophet ﷺ, against those who attack when it has ability. So the state does it, not you as individuals. But on an individual level, what does the Quran teach us? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Surely Allah has ordered justice. Ihsan is more than justice. Yeah, justice is one thing, yeah, giving what you get. But Quran doesn't teach that to the believers. Quran teaches Ihsan, which is you give better than what you are given. Yeah? Why? Allah SWT says in the Quran again, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. Return a bad turn with a good turn, that which is better. Isn't that what the Quran teaches? Yeah. So on an individual level, it's not because it's da'wah. When people are being bad with you, what are you supposed to be like? You can withdraw from them, that's allowed. Yeah? But what is better is to be better with them in return, which is a difficult thing. Which is a difficult thing. But that's the kind of relationship that believers are encouraged in their akhlaq and in their character. Yeah, so even with these, it is not, you know, give them the stick because, you know, they're being abusive to you. Now you can take your gloves off, roll your sleeves up and give them whatever you want. Abuse. Yeah? And, subhanAllah, we forget our deen, never mind with disbelievers, we do that with believers. You know, you see people who just lose all boundaries. They'll swear at their mothers and fathers of believers. Never mind of others. Yeah, and we lose our Islam very quickly and become denuded from it. But with the absence of any of that enmity, even as a state and as individuals especially, then the relationship in peaceful times, yeah, as was in Abyssinia, what do you think they had a relationship of? Going around saying we need to kill you all and take over your country? No chance. They came there asking for help, for a shelter. Yeah. And in that regard, I mentioned this ayah to you before. Surah Mumtahina at the beginning mentions those with enmity, don't have allegiance with them, those who don't take them in allegiance when they are fighting and trying to kill you. However, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين إنما ينهاكم الله عن الذين قاتلوكم في الدين وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ وَظَاهَرُوا عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِكُمْ أَنْ تَوَلَّوْهُمْ.
To clarify further, Allah SWT says,
Allah does not prevent you. لَا يَنْهَىٰ.
Sheikh Abawi and others said, many years ago, I looked at the tafsir of this ayah. Sheikh Abawi said, this لَا يَنْهَىٰ doesn't just mean it's all right. No, but good behavior we get from other ayah is mustahab. It is recommended that you behave this way. Yeah? From adl and good, from the ayah I mentioned before. Yeah? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Surely Allah has commanded you to be just and to show ihsan. This is all humanity. It doesn't say anywhere in the ayah to believers only. Yeah? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. To give to the near relatives, that means Muslims and non-Muslims. Wal yatama, to the orphans, yeah, all orphans, etc. So here, la yanhaakumullahu, translation of English doesn't bring out justice for it. Actually, it is recommending in regards to those who did not fight you, did not declare fighting and war over you, and those who did not throw you out of your homes, how should you be with them? Allah SWT, and tabarruhum, from bir, that you should be good and righteous. Bir is a wide term, covering all kinds of good. Be kind, considerate, neighborly, friendly, helpful, merciful. Yeah, all those things. And tabarruhum, wa tuqsitu ilayhim, that you should qist. This is from adl again, that you are good and just and kind. Yeah, all that which comes under that should be with them. Surely Allah loves those. What does that mean? Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin. Why did Allah say that? Because He's encouraging you to do it. Not just it's okay. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Yeah? Allah has only prevented you, yeah, in regards to those who fight with you and those who throw you out of your homes. Look at the context of what the mushriks did to the Prophet and the believers, and they declared war on them, yeah? In that case, and they threw out your home, and they support others in throwing you out and fighting with you. Yeah, these are those who are treacherous, traitors. Yeah? That, for them, you do not show allegiance to them. See? The context? Yeah? Context is there. So there's a different relation depending on what's going on. Not just willy-nilly anywhere you apply it. So that's in regards to general relationship. And this is despite the fact that there's the war situation, but despite the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I remember we discussed the trust issue last time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very clear that the trust is not just linked on belief, and talks about Ahlul Kitab. وَمِنْ أَهْلِ كِتَابِ مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارٍ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ. Yeah, well, from people of the book, you can trust them, entrust them with a whole treasure of a heap of treasure. Yeah, and they'll return it to you. And those who can't even trust them with a dinar, they won't return it to you until you stand over them, as the Quran says. We mentioned that last time. So this trust issue is not to be linked with this, that we don't trust the disbelievers, etc. The evidence is against those who say those kind of things, because the basis really of human beings is to have a trust. Trustworthy relationship, unless you have evidence to the contrary. Yeah. And even in that regard, is there things that contradict that relationship of, in peaceful times, of good relationship? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَن تَرْضَىٰ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَىٰ حَتَّىٰ تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. And the Jews and the Christians will never be pleased with you, Ankal Yahuda wa Al Nasara, until you follow their way. Now, is that spreading hatred? It's a statement of fact. Yeah? Because if they've got their way, they'd be happy if you become a Christian, if you become a Jew. Of course they would be. As we would be happy if they became believers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that so that you don't get taken in by appeasing them. Don't be deceived. You have the good relationship, so this is not to prevent your good relationship. And you say, oh my goodness, the Jew and Christian, they're never going to be happy with me unless I become a Christian Jew. I'm going to stay away from them. Your duty, your responsibility is still there. People think like that, actually. They think this this is a warning of not even having friendship with them. And that's how they use the ayah. But it's a statement of fact, of nature of human beings. In nature, the mushriks, the Hindus, will want you to become Hindu. The Buddhists will want you to become Hindu. They won't be happy until you do. So in doing your da'wah and being a good person in that regard, keep that in mind. That don't become so appeasing that you actually, yeah, as people say now, you actually start, you're so bent on pleasing them, you actually start having turkey and celebrating Christmas and having, that's what I say, yeah, so bent on appeasing them, that you want to give them a bottle of champagne as a Christmas present. I don't have a problem with Christmas present, but giving a bottle of champagne is a different matter, because now you're going into a tricky and haram area. So be careful of appeasing to the extent that you actually start following their way, which obviously will be pleasing to them in appeasing them. And also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the Quran, لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى
ذلك بأن منهم قسيسين ورهبانا وأنهم لا يستكبرون وإذا سمعوا ما أنزل إلى الرسول ترى أعينهم تفيض من الدمع مما عرفوا من الحق يقولون ربنا آمنا فاكتبنا مع الشاهدين. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will indeed find the severest of people in enmity towards you are the Jews. Now, this is not about warfare. This is a general statement for all times to come. And the mushriks, there will be more, and that doesn't mean all of them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making a general statement about those who are mushriks, that means Buddhists and Hindus, especially Hindus nowadays, and Jews generally, that amongst the people, if you were to compare Jews, Hindus and Christians, that the severest one of them in enmity towards you will be the Jews and, relatively, will be the Jews and the Mushrik in contrast to the Christians. That's what it's saying. وَلَا تَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبُهُمْ مَوَدَّةً. And you will find surely that the closest in feeling of love and affection to you, in contrast to them, will be those who believe that to the believers are those who say we are Christians. So it's comparing in general terms. Not all Jews, not all Mushrik, not all Christians. Because there are Christians who hate you as well. But generally, if you look at as a big conglomerate, you will find that more Christians are gentler and more loving and affectionate towards the believers, to the Muslims. This is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are worshipping priests and monks among them, and because they are not arrogant. Those kind of people, you know, they're gentle souls, the monks and the priests and Christians, yeah? Because they're the kind of people who are not arrogant. So arrogance has something to do with it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and about them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising them, knowing that they're Christians. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, when they hear what has been sent, revealed to the messenger, you see their eyes fill up with tears of the truth that they recognize. They say, our Lord, we have believed, right us down amongst those who have witnessed and declared, who bear witness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also in the Quran, and I was saying to you, it's not all of them are the same. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ahlul Kitab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسُ سَوَاءً مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَآنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ. They are not all the same. They are not all alike, the people of the book. Don't treat them as one conglomerate. Forget that. We often hear, and preachers have said this, now they're getting caught out on YouTube, etc., and camera, preachers in the East and here, who see all Christians and Jews as the family of Qird and Khinzir, Qird and Khinzir, of the pigs and monkeys, isn't it? That's the title used, and it's not a new thing, it's been said for a long time, just generally. And even for those, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions being turned to apes, to monkeys and pigs, he's talking about a small group of people from the Ahlul Kitab who disobeyed and became so cursed that Allah metamorphosized them and transformed them into that. And you should also know that we cannot call these people the family of monkeys and pigs, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet has mentioned in authentic hadith that those that were transformed, they didn't have any progeny. This is an authentic hadith. They didn't have any children. So they didn't carry on perpetuating and have any progeny that exists till today. They died out. Yeah. So again, laysu sawa, they're not all the same. Reminding us again, don't treat everybody in one, throw them all in one basket. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Ahlul Kitab, they're not all the same. Amongst them are people who are upright, who recite the ayat, the verses of God throughout the night, and they prostrate to Him. Okay, how do we understand
that kind of ayah, and the ayah which mentions إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. This is ayah in Baqarah. Also the similar ayah is mentioned in Al-Ma'idah as well. Surely those who believe, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that's us and all the believers who believed in Allah and His final messenger. وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا, and those who say we are Jews. وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى, and the Christians. وَالصَّابِئِينَ, and the Sabians. Sabi'een, nobody's absolutely clear actually till this day who the Sabians were. The nearest term for them, Sabah, was used by actually Mushriks to refer to the Prophet ﷺ, those who changed their religion. In this case, some ulama said those who changed their religion from shirk and wrong to the right religion, to belief in oneness of God. So Allahu alam what the truth is. Was-sabi'een. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Man amina billahi wal yawmil akhiri. From them, Christians, Jews, Muslims, and the Sabians, those who believe in Allah and the last day. Wa amila salihan. And they do good works. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ, for them is the reward for them with their Lord. عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. And وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, there is no fear on them. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, and there's nothing for them to grieve about. How do we take this ayah? And this ayah talking about them doing sujood, talking about Ahlul Kitab. Some people took that ayah and an ayah like this out from the Quran and said, oh look, Allah's saying all these people are going to go to paradise. Muslims, Jews, Christians, Sabians, as long as they believe in Allah, because here in this ayah mentions nothing about the Messenger of Allah. He's saying, Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhiri, believe in Allah and the last day. Wa amila salihan, and do good works. Falahum ajruhum inda rabbihim. Yeah? They say, well, there you are. They're all going to. There are some people who say that, and more nowadays. And also this one which mentions that when they hear, they're not all the same, when those who hear the ayat, the verses of God, could be from the Bible or the Talmud, the Torah as well. It could, and it can imply that as well. That's correct, that implication. However, it is not right to take that verse, or one or two verses like that, out from the rest of what the Quran is saying, and come to that conclusion. It is not right. Why? Because here we have in the Quran also ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Ma'idah, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. You can't ignore this ayah, just taking that out of context. You have to fill it and see what it fits. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying, surely they have disbelieved. Who? Those who say, surely Christ, the Messiah, the Son of Mary, is indeed God. What does it say? لَقَدْ كَفَرْ, they have disbelieved. Yeah. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Messiah himself said, O children of Israel, worship Allah, worship God, who is my Lord and your Lord. Allah has forbidden paradise for those who do shirk with him. That's what they're doing when they say that, isn't it? Now you see shirk coming in. Those who associated do shirk with Allah in His divinity, and their refuge will be the fire. No one will be able to help such wrongdoers. Oh, how can you put that and the other verse together? If you just look at it on surface, you'll say, oh, the contradiction. Yes? looks like a contradiction. Is there any contradictions in the Quran? No, there isn't. There isn't a contradiction, and we'll see why. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Yeah, those who say God is one of three, they have indeed done kufr. Yeah, they have disbelieved. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ. There is no God but except one God. So then you have these ayat to clarify that there is shirk with the people of the book, those who make the either Messiah son of God or anybody else son of God, or those who believe in the Trinity. So how do we put them together? Actually, the disbelievers from the Ahlul Kitab, can be divided to those who received the message and those who didn't receive the message. Yeah? Because the Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, sorry, just give me one second. Right, help with my glasses. Just had it here, sorry. Won't get the exact words of the hadith, so that's why I do. Anyway, I remember the hadith. It's in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Walladhi nafsi biyadih," by him in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad. "Walladhi nafsi bi Muhammad biyadih." La yasma'u من هذه الأمة يهوديا ولا نصرانيا لا يسمع بي من هذه الأمة يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولم يؤمن بي ولم يؤمن بما أرسلت إليه إلا دخله النار. The Prophet basically said, I take oath by him whose soul, Muhammad's soul is in his hand, by Allah in other words, that anybody from this ummah, from a Christian or a Jew, who hears about me, yeah, and what I have brought, and then doesn't believe in it, they will go to the hellfire. They will go to the hellfire. That hadith brings all these ayats together. The ones that give you good news for Christians and Jews having reward with Allah, and the ones that declare them as disbelievers. So as I say, Ahlul Kitab can be divided, those who received the message and those who didn't receive them. Those who didn't receive the message, amongst them are those who were Trinitarians and Unitarians, who did good works. Yeah? So if they didn't receive the message of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them. And amongst them will be those who go to paradise, even though they didn't become Muslim like we know, believing the messenger of Allah, the final messenger. Yeah. Those are the kinds that Allah is mentioning. Yeah. And in the general statement, surely those who believe, those who are Christians and those who are Jews. Yeah. As long as they do good works, believe in God, believe in the hereafter and do good works. So that general statement still covers them. Still covers them. But once they receive the message, yeah, there you get those who receive the message and reject. They are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning who do kufr, because they receive the message, and their place will be the hellfire. So that's how the ayat of the Quran show that there's no contradiction It is linked together with the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ about those who receive the message. And those who receive the message is not very easy for us, as people willy-nilly actually nowadays judge and they say, oh, everybody received the message now. It's on the internet. Yeah, it's everywhere. Muslims are everywhere. They've received the message. It is actually a very difficult thing for us to judge. What kind of message have they received? Even Muslim young people going on the internet to Google, Sheikh Google, they can get all kinds of confusion, as they do, don't they? It's the internet that used by extremists to brainwash people, isn't it? So if they can get that kind of message of Islam, what kind of message can a Christian and Jew get going on the internet about Islam? A very confused one as well. Yeah. So have they received, have they heard the truth about Rasulullah? That depends on our da'wah. We need to focus on giving the message rather than judging people, oh, they've received it, they're all going for hellfire. That's a very difficult thing for us to say. Very difficult and very dangerous. Dangerous in the sense because it washes our hands off them as well. As we say, oh, well, they're all going there. Well, I've done my job. Have you done your job? That's for us. Allah's going to judge us on that. I'm running out of time, but there's important issues still to do with this that I want to mention. I'll have to finish it next time. And those issues built on top of this, there's things to do with... There's a few ahadith which need tashrih, understanding. Very important tashrih. And that's why I want to cover them. Again, to do with Jews and Christians. To do with salam, there's authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. And then there are a bunch of hadith in Sahih Muslim which are very disturbing, yes, if you look at the direct meaning of them. And I'll just mention the meaning of those hadith, but I'll deal with them next time. And the gist, there's three of them, and the gist of those hadith is that on the day of judgment, a Muslim will come with a mountain of sins. A mountain of sins. And that mountain of sins will be put on a Jew or a Christian, and they will be put in the fire, and the Muslim will go into paradise. Who's heard this hadith before? There's three of them in Sahih Muslim. And when you listen to that, you have to start thinking. One priest said, he said, you guys say you don't believe in sin being transmitted and transferred to other people because we believe Christians in original sin. You claim you don't have any sin, that people are responsible for their own sin. It can't be transmitted onto others. So he said, what about this hadith? You're transmitting it, never mind to others. You're transmitting it to us on the day of judgment. What kind of fairness is that? You come with a Muslim, a bad Muslim. Because this is talking about Muslim. And there are majority of Muslims, as we know, are bad Muslims. They behave bad. We say they're going to hellfire. Yeah? Unless Allah shows mercy to them and ask for forgiveness. Yeah? They may be taken out of hellfire in the end. But this hadith indicates that all these bad Muslims with mountains of sins, they'll mountains of sin will be thrown on the Jew and the Christian, and they'll go to hellfire because of that, and this one's going to go to paradise. Does that sound just? Question mark. Because it's hadith in Sahih Muslim. We will deliberate on that, what its understanding is, inshallah, in the next lesson, before we move on to talk about jihad, in the lesson after that, inshallah, as we go towards Ghazwatul Badr in the life story of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Next week, no lesson, inshallah. Most people are going to be on holiday and away, so we'll meet in 2 weeks' time, inshallah. Any quick question before we have the adhan? Or what we covered today? No? Inshallah, more clarification on the same topic as I said, on the few things I've said next time. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.